Hello, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is the Some of You Show. My name is Elisa.
My name's Liz. Hi, darling.
Hey.
Well, I listened to the show that you and Anna did, I guess it was a week ago.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's how I catch up. And, yeah, And for very obvious reasons, she and I really talk when we cross paths on the air, mm-hmm. and it's completely understandable with what she's going through, what I'm going through, and it's just amazing how here we go again. It's so parallel. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that we're talking about dwellings. And we're talking about, I mean, we're not doing the attorney route, but I am going to be seeking a mediator to hash this out. The one thing that really literally brought a tear to my eye was when she was talking about Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And I know you give your kids the Valentine's and the backpacks, and she had all these special things for Jaden and Lily, and the only way that she could get it to them was by tossing them onto their balcony.
Yeah.
I just felt for her. I absolutely felt for her. And for any parent to restrict a relationship with one's children, at this point, well, my kids are a little bit older. My youngest obviously is just about Jaden's age, not even a year older. The other one is 19. But for the one that's closest to Jaden's age, all this started about the time that he was Jaden's age, or maybe a little bit younger. The kids are old enough to decide.
Mm-hmm.
And she really should have a voice. How old is Lily now? Is she 7?
Yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. And she is such a profound 7. And let me tell you, people that aren't around very young children, I'm very fortunate that I teach, and some of my students could be as young as 4. So 7 is an age I deal with, and I'm not an academic teacher because that would be really foolish of the Board of Education, but I'm an acting teacher. And let me tell you, I'm in love with a bunch of 7-year-olds that probably came from the same planet that Lily comes from, where they are just some profound, deep thinkers that really know to the degree of their filter what's going on. And it's just heartbreaking that that's coming into play. It's heartbreaking. And when you guys were talking about the family not being able to see the kids, there's the ripple effect. And really what that comes down to, and it's very unfortunate, is that it perpetuates the archetype of the villain and the victims. And what's very fascinating, not only do I consider you and Anna my family, my dear, dear friends that I don't really see in the physical, but we're so connected energetically. I feel that closeness. You and Anna are like, well, I'm glad she feels that way, but hello. Anyway, bless her heart.
Oh, no. Come on now. Come on.
But no, I know, I'm kidding. But we have that closeness. So what I find so fascinating is how from a 180-degree panoramic perspective, or 360 panoramic perspective, I see so many sides to this, and I relate, although it's very different from mine, it's very parallel in that those archetypes. And I remember having a very painful phone conversation, and I have ceased communication outside of texting and emails that concern the kids or anything that's worth discussing, that's of note. There's no communication. So I'm gathering that there's no communication except for that too. Is that what it's fallen, gone to? That's what I thought was
mm-hmm.
implied. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so oh my God. So she and I. Okay, we're like a third cousins, and I remember the last phone conversation. I said, "Well, you've certainly made yourself the victim in all of this, and I'm the bad guy." Okay. And then I got an email that said, "You claim that I'm the victim, but we're all victims." So that tells me, okay, now we're all victims because I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. I'm the bad guy. And there's just, and I really understood it when she said it on the show that you guys did. When there's this, it's just this complete lack of understanding, and the fact that Anna is so compassionate and so wise, and it was actually very helpful for me to hear her say, to put yourself in the other person's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something we have to remind ourselves of. As much as we feel it's ridiculous, childish, it's their experience. And then it gives you understanding as to the why of the madness, of the pain, of the illusion, of all of those things. It really gives you a why. And it's not about right or wrong. It's about why. So if someone is so hurt, then they're going to hurt back. But the fact that what I find very interesting is that Anna didn't want this to happen.
Right.
She didn't ask for this. My kid's father didn't ask for this. And I find it absolutely astounding that Anna's like getting the heat as if she initiated this. That's what it appears to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just when you think you could be friends, but no. And it's very confusing. I don't even remember, in an email, there was a time that I got a text that was, to me, very flirtatious. I'm like, oh no, no, Satan, no, 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 and it creeped me out, and I expressed that. Well, you know, I got criticized for characterizing a flirtation as creepy. Well, when this is going on, it kind of is, and then that's setting me up that if so, there I can't be kind. I mean, not unkind, but I can't be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be stoic, because God forbid that friendliness is misinterpreted as false hope or flirtation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what does one do? but be the bad guy.
Right.
Which sucks.
No, I mean, I understand that. I mean, that's definitely something that has happened with Anna, you know, because she was trying to get her back.
I know.
And got the pushback. And so, you know, there were quite a few issues there. Very similar. And there's a part of me that's, you know, trying to explain to my cousin that, you know, if someone just cannot handle it, they're going to shut down. And that's basically what happened.
That's what happened. Yeah, that's what happened with me. Mm-hmm.
So it's hard. I mean, I know it's really hard, but what's interesting that at some point then her ex was receptive, but by that point, my husband had already started dating somebody else.
Well, that's why she was receptive. Ooh, candy. I want what I can have. I mean, please. Ooh, shiny. Nope.
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting.
Let's
just one more thing we can.
Let's just complicate it by flirting. Let's just complicate the whole situation and not even confuse the kids anymore that they're confused. Why not?
Mm-hmm.
And I pray that Anna's still involved in this new relationship.
Yes.
Oh, sweet Jesus. Thank you. Thank goodness. Okay, good. Good that she can do that. I really don't have it in me right now at all. So good for her. Good for her. But then again, she didn't sign up for this. Then again, she's in that house for right now. Things get complicated when it comes to real. It always comes down to real estate and money, doesn't it? That's even like after somebody dies. That's when the ugly comes out. And the end of a marriage, the end of a relationship, it's a death. So the ugly comes out. But that's, Source put that new relationship in Anna's path to give her the strength to reject that rabbit hole of despair. That Source put this, whoever this is, if I get the chance to meet her, I will say thank you, Jesus, to her face, because gave Anna the resistance and the strength. And I would take a really good guess that if there wasn't somebody new in the picture, I would put money that her ex knew about the new relationship. And all of a sudden, Anna started looking really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, of course.
I think
people talk.
I think whoever she's involved with, you know, the ex,
mm-hmm.
whoever the ex is still involved with in whatever way,
mm-hmm.
just kind of keeping tabs on what's happening.
Of course, because as one does. In the surveillance world.
That's partly what...
I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what they do. So, that's their nature, The thing is...
Right. That's how it's wired. Yeah.
Anna is not... I don't think Anna needs to hide anything.
No,
apparently she
not.
Can't hide anything. She wasn't really hiding this either. Because that's not how she's wired.
That's who she is. She does, and there's no reason. What's the reason?
And the thing is that the relationship has had all kinds of issues for a while. I mean, things that you know are manageable because they were able to manage it for a number of years.
Oh yeah.
This is sort of something I'm sort of making these connections with bigger picture things
mm-hmm.
As a whole is I feel like in this country in particular, we do not know how to work as a team.
Yep.
We would rather talk about this in terms of, say, like watching the Olympics, because we, even in our teens, you see that there's a lot of great individual talent. But part of what's thrilling, I guess, in these competitions is that we usually don't get our crap together to really work as a team until, like, we almost lose it, you know? And then we end up winning anyway. But it doesn't feel like it's as much of a team effort as individuals who are able to make stuff happen. Whereas with other nations, even in sports where it doesn't seem like it's a team effort, but there's more than one person from the same country, they actually work as a team. So they may not, that person may not get the individual glory, but they actually helped the team win the medal, almost like, I'll take a hit for the team. So what's interesting, I was kind of making this connection because even with us disagreeing about gun control or why certain things happen, it's so contentious and so over the top. And this is my argument. I can't even listen to your argument because I'm so passionate about my argument.
Right. Yes.
That we, so that's the bigger picture there is being played out where we actually do need to have a bunch of lawyers. You know, we have become increasingly more litigious over the years since I was, before I was born. But it's such a thing now. Like, well, then I'm gonna sue you.
Oh yeah, that's a standard
procedure.
I'm gonna
take legal action. It's only gonna take legal action. So somebody else will
Everybody
have to decide.
Everybody threatens somebody. Cease and desist.
Yeah.
I have a friend with a lawyer I'm not saying this personally, but you know, somebody goes, I have a friend who's a lawyer and they have letterhead. You know, meaning that they could ask a friend who's in the legal profession to send a letter on legal letterhead to, you know, pump the brakes on a situation.
Right.
Go ahead.
What I see is that it's like we can't come to any bit of common ground that we will work together. It's still like, you know, someone has to decide, and it has to be like this commandment.
Right. dictatorship.
And so no one really, you know, only one person still wins in that sense. Only one person gets to, haha, it's what I wanted. So it leaves it in a shambles, which is basically what this is.
Yes, girl. I'm right there with my little shovel.
And along the way, I mean, even Anna's like, you know, it didn't have to go down this road.
No, it didn't. Nope.
You know, but you know, to your point, what you had said earlier with everything that's happened, you know, for Anna, you know, meeting somebody, like, maybe that's what had to happen because the person the person who was going to give in, the person who would be more susceptible to let me bend over backwards to make this work.
She already
would be
did
Anna.
It. She's already contortionist. Yeah. She's already in the road company of Cirque du Soleil. Like, enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank goodness. I think Source put that in her path. And thank God she recognized the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness. And the other thing, you know, because I happen to co-host a radio show where I pick up on a few things. When I was listening to the show that you guys did, getting caught up with what's happening and just the parallels and everything else, what came in is that the ex needs to be very careful because with the kids, this might really backfire in the future. There is a big difference between age 11, 12, and 13. I'm living it now. The difference between 11 and 12 is staggering in terms of what goes on emotionally, physically, everything. So the ex really needs to be careful because kids are so smart and they're so adaptable and they're not stupid. They'll know what they need to do to be safe and to survive and to cope. But at the other same token, they need to have the credit that they see through the BS. So as long as Anna stays in her truth, it's all going to take care of itself. And it, this really, especially in a couple of years when the kids are older, the ex has to learn across the board, not just in a relationship, but in life, that there's no such thing as control outside of the realm of your perception.
That's true.
That's going to be a hard truth to contend with. Sometimes you never get that because the resistance is greater and blocks that truth, and the law of free will override understanding that truth. If your free will is to resist that and to claim it as incorrect, then Source will give you what you asked for, that resistance, and you can live there your whole life and maybe figure it out the next life. The only thing we have control of is our perception.
Right.
Done. So when the kids grow into expressing their perceptions and having more autonomy, which is around the corner for Jaden.
Right.
A few years now for Lily. That's going to be a very bitter pill to swallow. You cannot control the kids. It's about meeting them where they are and letting them know that you know what's up. I've been incredibly tested by my 12-year-old. And this morning before the show, I looked him straight in the eye and I said, I know you are not so stupid to think that you believe how things have been going lately, that it's totally fine to disregard me in the way that you've disregarded me. I can't show you anymore how I love you. But now this is affecting my health. And it is. If he doesn't come home when he says he's going to come home, I'm like Trayvon Martin. Like I worry, and I'm not like overprotective. I give him a lot of freedom, and I said, I don't want to punish you. I don't want to take away your phone. I don't want to take away your bike. I don't want to take away your computer. I don't want to take away from you seeing your friends. But you're not stupid. You know exactly what you're doing. You need to prove to me. Don't say you're sorry, but you need to show me and prove to me. That I am worthy of that respect. Because right now it doesn't matter what I do. And I walked out, I didn't yell, and yes, I shed a tear, but, you know, if he noticed it, fine, but it wasn't for him to notice, it was just what I was feeling, and it wasn't like I was weeping, that's my point, you know, I shed a tear, but it was a private tear, and that's it, because what's the point of punishing, what's the point, but if you're going to meet a child in the truth of their awareness and in your respective humanity and then walk away and leave it, meaning give it to God, give it to Source. It's very difficult, but I think we get bumped and scraped and bruised and we fall down to get to that point. And something very interesting that Anna said, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it struck me about, I can't fall because I've fallen. What was it? something.
Oh.
There's no place to fall because I've fallen, or there's no place to. And what's interesting, I have physically fallen 4 times, and I fainted once. And I'm so mindful to not fall. It's because I would leave my body. This would just would be just so overwhelming. I'm getting an echo now.
No. Okay.
The
computer.
Okay, anyway. But when she said that, I can't fall because there's no place to fall. And that really helped. Because I'm very concerned about falling on the streets of, you know, New York City. It's not cute. And I'm very lucky that I haven't gotten, you know, seriously injured.
Right.
Because when I fall hard. I'm not falling anymore. And it's very interesting. My mother used to do that. We would travel, or even in New York, she used to fall same side. I'm like, Ma?
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. She did the same thing. And she really injured herself, like, when she was older. She did it even older, so she's very afraid to fall now because she's in her 80s. Mm-hmm. But even when she was still working, she fell and dislocated her shoulder. I ain't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of embody, what is that called, epigenetics? Embodied that ancestral pattern. I'm like, no, we're not doing that. We are not doing that. I'm not going to fall to the point that I'm going to seriously injure myself. Not doing it.
Right.
So to hear Anna say there's no place to fall because she's fallen, or whatever it was that she said it, how she articulated that. And you said, because it was such a great conversation that you guys had, you said, and if we help one person through this conversation, I raised my hand, I'm like, yeah, that would be me. so that was accomplished. And I'm sure it was quite a few people, not just one listener in New York at 2 in the morning listening to this because I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you have it. But the only thing we can control are perceptions. So let's focus on that, kids. It's deep.
Yeah. With from what I remember with Anna talking about she can't fall is because she's placing so much trust in how this universe is unfolding for her. That she was really riding this high in this realization that you know, she's always taken care of. She's always, even when it doesn't feel like it, like she's being taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
She's being taken care of.
Right.
And so that's what she is. That's what she's feeling, you know, in this bigger picture, which is just another side of her compassionate heart. You know,
compassionate.
I mean, just, you know, for her, because she has her moments where she, you know, she falls into these depths of, you know, she gets really frustrated and then she has to work herself out of it. Because what she realizes is that she has to follow her truth.
Yeah, thank you.
The way she responds and handles things is very different from anybody else.
Right.
And that's a good thing, because she responds in ways that I'm like, I am not that big of a person.
Oh my God, like, no. Dalai Lama.
I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, no. No.
But I see how that is so, it's so her. It's reflective of who she really is.
Yes.
And it's very humbling.
It is.
Somebody,
I can't do that. Yes, absolutely.
Right. When you have
the
somebody
grace
who can do that.
Right.
And it's not like she does it, she maintains it 24/7, right?
Of course not.
But more often than not, she's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Her default setting is amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's where she's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm surprised but not so surprised is that her ex-partner couldn't see that. Or that her ex-partner saw it but couldn't handle it.
Thank you.
Couldn't handle how good this person
is.
Well,
she perceived it into something else. She,
perception
was that denial, or it was airy-fairy, or it was it's going to be converted into a perception that's going to serve the other person, you know. I was early on, I must have been mentally ill or unfaithful or a lesbian because possessed by dark energies. So that's four. There's others, but those are the four that come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's all perception. I'm just doing everything in my power to live in my truth.
Yeah.
That's
it.
And to learn to love myself and to be healthy. So if I have to fight for my health, for my well-being, that's interesting because that's what I said to my son a little while ago. This is not good for my health. He is testing me like I'm going up for some PhD candidacy, like thesis. I didn't write no thesis. I write no dissertation. No, it's not going to be published. No. I left the program. No. So I'm so grateful that Anna's in this relationship. So grateful.
Yeah. But
yeah. That's one of the that's a miracle, really. It really is a miracle.
Yeah.
It really is a miracle. And the kids know what's what. So it's just a matter of the legal system, which I don't know how favorable it will be, but because legally there really isn't much to hold on to. But we'll see.
Miracles
happen.
Yeah,
miracles happen.
It's
about the kids.
That's the main thing, is that I have not tried calling the kids. I would like to. Honestly, I haven't felt like I could even be out and about. So I'm like, let me call the kids. I'm like, hey, I don't feel good.
Right.
And I don't know if I'll be able to reach them. You know, Anna gave them a phone.
Oh, good.
She's already been restricted on when she can reach them. You know, it's like that
kind
of stuff.
I heard that
like,
8 and 10 at night, and they're kids. Hello. What is that? 8 to 10 o'clock at night. You can only talk to the kids. That's to encourage a relationship with both parents.
Right.
So important.
Right.
So important. Because my older son requested this, and it's difficult being so emotional, so sensitive myself, but I honor that. I don't talk about my experience in this relationship falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't discuss it with my older son.
Wow.
I don't. And it's hard. Sometimes I'll just have to go into my bedroom and cry, but I have to honor my child's request. And the other one, I don't really say too much. I can be slightly more open, but my mantra has been the kids come first. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means them having a healthy relationship with their father. I would never, ever restrict or put conditions on their relationship with their dad.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. So that really was appalling to me, that she has to throw backpacks for Valentine's Day on the balcony.
Right.
That's
right.
So unnecessary. It's brutal. so unnecessary because you get off on control.
Mm.
No one's winning here. No one's winning.
And I think she's just basically trying to establish that she doesn't want to acknowledge Anna as a parent. You know?
No, and there's a lot of loopholes, unfortunately, in her favor with that, which is a shame. But who cares what she acknowledges? It's the kids.
Right. I think that's the bigger picture point that for whatever reason, she has been swayed into taking that route when she doesn't need to.
She doesn't need to. But it's a threat. The same way that this new relationship, all of a sudden shiny candy new, I want what somebody else wants because I have no sense of who the hell I am. Same thing with the kids, because once they get a little bit older, girl, you better control your emotions and your situation because it's slipping.
Mm.
So this is like Napoleon, you know, or this is like, not Napoleon, this is like Nero fiddled as Rome is burning. It's like, no, girl, put the fiddle down.
Yeah.
You know?
As much as it has been a crazy relationship, you know, for me, you know, Stephanie has been part of our family. So I don't agree with a lot of stuff she's done. But, you know, she is obviously hurting in a lot of different ways.
Well, that's how she's expressing that hurt.
And that's how she's expressing it. And it doesn't need to be in this way.
It doesn't have to affect the kids.
And she doesn't have to have the kids suffer
They're suffering enough.
She may try to put a spin on it that says, no, they're mad at you. They don't want to talk to you or they'll know the truth or whatever.
Please don't say that she says that.
Well, I can only hear these things secondhand.
Got it.
From Anna.
Right.
But the level of control that she mm-hmm. has always wanted to have.
Right.
I'm like, are you really going to try to deny that the kids aren't missing this other person that's been in their lives from day one?
That's so selfish. I mean, I hate to judge, but I'm judging.
Well, yeah. It doesn't all those variables don't add up. Like if you, and I say this as a Taurus because I know how stubborn we can get and I know how we can build a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Almost like we have to build a defense and we got to stick to it.
right.
Even to the detriment of everything else falling around you, as long as you can say, well, I was right. There's like some small victory, but it's not really a victory.
Yeah.
Because you end up being alone. You end up being alone and misunderstood, and then you get people who actually hate you. So it just tumbles down from there.
Mm.
So I understand what it feels like, again, my perception, to be backed into a corner and some of the really poor choices I can make
mm-hmm.
when I feel really threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not lived any type of life like the way Anna's ex has. Because I don't know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know stuff that's happened with her from before, you know, way before. I don't know some of the things that have shaped her ideas and her need to survive in certain ways. But I can empathize in how she's trying to, I see what she's trying to do on some level. And again, it's like, wow, you know, have you not seen who you've been with for the last almost 20 years? Have you not seen the sorts of things that she will do to make you be okay, and yet you're
move
still
mountains.
Not okay.
Move mountains,
yeah. So it's not really that. There's something that no one will ever be able to fix unless you want to fix it. And now she, you know, she has these two kids. She brought kids into the world that are adorable. They're magnificent
children.
So wonderful beings.
Yes.
And I know that's part of her healing is to have these
yes.
kids.
Yes, thank God, yeah.
I know that, but they're also part of the world now. You know, they're part of our family.
There's a responsibility.
From the get-go, in many cases, you know.
Yep.
I mean, definitely. You know,
they have Anna's last name.
Everyone has a family name. So to deny or to try to sever a relationship just to prove a point.
It's ridiculous.
It can be even more damaging than
Trump
she was anticipating.
It's a Trump move. It's a Trump move. It's blind.
Mm-hmm. So, like, I get angry about the situation. Like I said, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that the ex has done. I still would love for her to be try to turn things around. You know, I know she has other influences. I'm assuming she has other influences mm-hmm. that are like, well, I can be crazy. So, you know,
right.
if she's changed to that degree, then that's fine too. I also very much love those kids.
Of course.
The best I can do, I mean, I could probably give them a call and just see if they'll call
back.
See where
it lands, see what happens.
Yeah. You know, the best I can do is try to help Anna just kind of work through whatever
uh-huh.
she has to work through and stuff. And she's getting better at it. You know, we had that conversation, we had that show last week.
Yeah.
And she has these, like I said, she has such a big heart that when she finally gets around to really uncovering some of these layers, I mean, it's still the same. Like she really wants everything to be fine. She, you know, she doesn't want to, she's not as quick to draw up boundaries like that, like I am. I'd be like, you know,
yeah,
you get the boot and we're done.
Yeah, that's me.
Even though it hurts, you know, even though it really hurts to do that.
Yeah.
You know, she has a much higher threshold for tolerance than I do.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed at some of the things that she'll say and that she'll express. I'm like, wow. I mean, I would have to check it. I'd be like, am I just lying about that? No. You know, for her, she's like, no, because words are just words. It's the actions.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And every action has been to try to salvage a relationship, to try to maintain a relationship, to try to still be in touch with her kids and to show her, you know, to spend as much time. And as everything that she's trying to do gets, in a way, it gets taken away or limited or
being
controlled.
Punished. She's being punished.
Yeah, she is. She is.
Yeah.
For something that she did not initiate.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Right.
You know, I have to believe that things will work out the way they need to.
Yeah.
And even if it has to take time for those things, like you said, if it means that we have to wait a few more years until the kids are like, you know what, we've had enough. And I am old enough now to say I've had enough.
Right. That's going to happen.
Then I know, but see, the thing is, it's Anna's still planning for that, you know, planning for our future, you know, that she's still, those kids are still her kids. And so she's always been setting aside, you know, these ideas for them or, you know, whatever money for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she has ideas and plans that she's always had to have, make sure the kids are taken care of.
Right.
That's the sort of person she is.
She's amazing.
So they'll know one way or another. I mean, if they don't already know.
They know. They know now.
And I know
the
they know.
They know.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
I kind of wish we could have that resolution. You know, I was thinking about, like I said, with our bigger picture and how we can't agree, and so we end up having to have other people take sides, and we have to have some type of legal, because, like, legally.
I know.
Legally versus, you know, morally.
Right.
This is the right thing to do. I was just amazed at these kinds of correlations. Even arguing about the best way to take care of something, you know.
Yeah.
The argument upon argument upon argument. You're like, well, what were we trying to do here? What were we trying to do?
Right.
The words that come up is like, there are times when you have to step up and be a leader.
Yeah.
And there are times when that leader can still be, you know, and I'm part of a team. If you're not leading anybody else, you're not part of a team. You're just sort of doing whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
So this is partly why, you know, like, okay, I will admit I stayed up really late watching some Olympics, as I have been. Congratulations to Team USA Women's Hockey. They won the gold medal, beating Canada. And so we have these dramas, right? Because the last time the Team USA won that gold medal was 20 years ago, when women's hockey was introduced. Team USA won. I think they beat Canada, and then since then Canada has won.
I didn't even know
gold medal.
Women's team for hockey. Well, I know you know, but I don't know. Wow, that's amazing.
Of course, I would know. I mean,
she got the cards with the gum in it.
No, because I tell you, because I don't really watch hockey because I don't know how to play it, and it's it's not a Southern thing, and I couldn't watch all the games, but I knew that. And they were usually a lot later in the night. I'm like, okay, I'll stay up, but man, I'm falling asleep. And it's such a fast game. We used to have a professional hockey team in Atlanta, and they were super popular. And then they ended up moving it someplace else. It was super, super popular. And I remember going to a few games. I'm like, I don't know what the hell's going on here. I can't follow the puck. It's so small, everything's super fast. I mean, it really is. I'm like, but the atmosphere when you're there is great. So like, it's like a trade-off. Like you may not know what's going on, but you just kind of yell with everybody and you cheer with everybody. And then you watch the replay very closely. But it reminded me of like our women's soccer team, like the drama. Oh, it's been, 16 years since we won the World Cup, we've been starving for attention when in reality, our teams are really good. They may not always get that medal at like the Olympics, but they've won a bunch of other stuff. That's their sticking point. It's like, we've lost every match since then. Like they've always come in second to Canada in the last since 2000, And so it was like this big drama, like, are we going to win? And it ended up, it was a really, really good game. Because it ended up going into overtime. Like they tied and then they ended up going into overtime and they couldn't resolve it. And then it went to a penalty shootout, which is kind of anticlimactic, but this was actually a really good shootout. And so it was like high drama. It was even people on the other side, at least commentators on the other side who were from Team Canada back in the day were like, it was a really good game. It was a really, really good match. So you feel good, and then you see the people who the team that came in second, who came in second. And here's the difference. Here's how one of our commentators who was in that Olympic team back in 1998 and had been on the team since, for maybe another cycle of Olympics, and they came in second. She's like, I know what that's like. It doesn't feel like you won silver. It feels like you lost the gold.
Ooh. Yeah.
So
interesting.
So here's amidst this big celebration, and I was watching. They have the medal ceremony. This one they did right away, right afterwards, because I guess it was that late. They usually do the medal ceremony at some point in the evening for all the
winners. Yeah.
But I guess for a team, plus they had three teams because they had to award the bronze as well.
Right.
That's a lot of people. So I think they kept it there, which is smart. I was watching and I saw this with the Canadian, with a Canadian team in soccer a couple of years ago for an Olympic qualifying. Like you had to get up to that point to get to the Olympics. So I saw them play that tournament when I was in Houston, and they came in second to Team USA. So same thing, what happened was they got the medal. So in this one, last night, it was they awarded the silver. They were putting it on everyone in the team, and one team member from Canada took hers off right away.
Ooh.
After they put it over her head, took it off right away. And I think she's the only one that did that, as far as I can tell.
Wow.
But I thought, wow, that's like, I mean, I get it, you're emotional, but it's almost, to me,
come on,
poor form, like.
Yeah, don't be a sore loser.
And so what I saw with the soccer team for those qualifying rounds, and this is just qualifying, but they still have the big, celebration, the awards. All their team members took theirs off right away. In fact, the coach took his off right away.
What?
And then I think he threw his medal out to somebody when they walked back. He threw it out to somebody else.
That's so childish.
And it's that sort of, well, we didn't come here for second place, so we're not even going to take this, that type of thing. It's so deep.
It's so deep.
So, you know, when, or so this is me as a 40-something-year-old seeing this. Now,
right.
If I were in Canada and I were a child seeing that.
Right.
You know, well, am I like, oh, yeah, well, that's not good enough. You know, then I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do the same thing.
Yeah, when in Little League or whatever.
As
right.
a way to express my disappointment.
In myself. And in, yeah, ooh, not a good message.
It, yeah, it, those are things that you do see, and it's interesting because I'm sure everybody, every country, well, I don't know if every country, I'm sure, like, we've done it. I'm sure somebody in our sport, in our team has sort of like, yeah, you know, throw a little fit.
Right, throw a little fit, exactly. Why are you going to throw a little fit? That's exactly right. What time was it when all this was, you were in this high athletic drama?
Like,
what time was it?
Maybe 2 o'clock-ish. Maybe.
Oh, I should have called you because, you know, I was listening to your show. Should have called you. I said, yeah, good show. Really good show.
Yeah.
So you and I are in the same, like, what? Yeah.
I'm kind of used to it. I have had, you know, had a bit of help. Staying up, watching
right.
the Olympics. So a little bit of practice doing that.
That's cute. Oh, no, that's good. So that's how we hear. That's how I hear about it through you. So that's great. I would have never known any of this. Didn't even know we had a women's hockey team. I'm like, oh, okay. Didn't even know that was a thing. Oh my goodness, life.
Well, we do have a hand raise.
Oh, perfect.
No, we don't have a hand raise. This is somebody listening in. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Or unless you did press one. Again, the same thing with Blog Talk. The main call-in line has just wavered in and out, so I've had to kind of do a direct connect back in.
Gotcha.
And I'm glad that I called in as a guest on my cell phone because...
Yes, it's crazy. This happened last show.
It's happened the entire show. Last show and this show.
The last show and this one. But it didn't happen with Anna's show. Just people were riveted like I was, so they were just listening to your conversation.
Yeah.
That's good.
Hand is right. Let's do this. Area code 334.
I'm glad.
Good morning. You're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Shakira.
Hi, Shakira. We've spoken with you before, correct? I believe we
have. Not that I remember.
No? Okay, maybe somebody else. But I know your hips don't lie. Anyway, can I have permission to connect to your energy, please?
Yes.
Okay. And you can give Elisa your date of birth, just the month and the day?
May 9th.
9-9?
May the 9th.
May 9th. Yeah,
May
it.
9th. 5-9. My bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What do you need today? What's going on?
I'm in a very difficult situation right now. Like, I want to know, is there any messages telling me to go for
it
with?
Okay, this is what you're going to do. Got it. Okay, this is what you're going to do. Take a deep breath. Okay, just put one, if you have a free hand, put it on your heart. Just take one or two deep breaths. And, Elisa, we're not going to do music with this. I'm connecting to your energy. I have a database of messages, which I'm connecting to you. You're going to pick the message, so just take a couple of seconds, and when you're ready, say the word pick.
Pick.
Okay. So the messages also have numbers associated with them. So, Elisa, the number associated with this message is 701. Okay. And here's your message. Get past the surface and discover the sacredness in all things, including your own heart. Enter new gateways of compassion and self-awareness. And what this tells me is that you've been second place. Talk about second place, right? We just talked about the Olympics. You've put others first before you. Would that be a correct assumption?
Yeah.
And So whatever's going on the surface, because the first part of this message is get past the surface. So whatever's happening on the surface, that's affecting so much of your perception and getting so much of your attention that you're not discovering what the message says, the sacredness in all things, including your own heart. So if you were to take another deep breath, please. If you were to communicate one statement to your heart, there's no right or wrong. I want you to address your heart. Just say one statement to your heart. Don't think about it. Just say it. Just speak it. Speak to your heart right now. One statement.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Oh, you mean aloud or?
Yes, girl, because I need to hear you.
I don't know, but I can tell you that I'm thinking about terminating a pregnancy, and I don't know what to
girl,
do.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you were to, thank you, if you were to speak to your heart, what would you say to your heart? Not to, your body is your body, and nobody can tell you otherwise. But if you were to speak to your heart, what would you say to your heart? Get past the surface, and there's no judgment. Absolutely no judgment. What would you say to your heart right now, out loud?
To heal itself. That's the only thing I can say.
So what would you say is it's time to heal?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's time for you to heal. Okay? So your heart is part of you. So it's not itself, it's myself. So this is about the sacred in you. Do you have other children?
Yes.
I knew it. And it's all you can do to take care of those other children, correct?
Yeah.
So the reason isn't, you know, that you're 14 and you made a mistake. It's that you have the responsibility to these other children. So this isn't about judgment, and this isn't about what others, the influence of others. And I know that's difficult. People will project and people will judge. I would keep my circle very small right now of who has this information. Do many people know about your circumstance?
No, they don't. The few that I did, you know, mention it to,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if I go through with it, determining, I could just, you know, tell them I miscarried and leave it alone.
Well, good.
But,
leave it alone. And you're early enough. Are you early enough in the pregnancy that?
No, that's something that's been bothering me because I'm
okay,
already
so how far
14
along are you?
Weeks Friday, and that's my last day if I can, you know, if I'm going to do it. It's going to be then.
This is why this is so difficult, because at 14 weeks, just in terms of spirit, there's that connection. But that spirit is still spirit. That child in you, this is all, it could be that child's choice as well. All right? I gave birth, this is actually, what's today, the 22nd? Yeah, the 22nd. Yesterday was the anniversary of my baby daughter dying in my arms. Okay? Girl, no, listen. It's okay. It was a long time ago. And I had to come to terms with the truth that it wasn't my fault. I blamed myself for a long time. And, of course, I didn't do anything wrong. But that was, she had that window of opportunity to decide as a spiritual being what she was going to do. And you know what? Frankly, I do not blame.